So what is the deal with the new secondary? What exactly can we expect from them this year? Let's talk about it on the Locked On Vikings podcast.
Ooh-wee! You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Locked On Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, your pal, and the kid you cop it off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at LukeBraunNFL. Show is on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. And thank you so much for making Locked On Vikings your first listen of the day. Today on the show, we're doing a lot of stories, a lot of fluffy little thing about the past, or we'll maybe even do some player profiles sometime soon. I want to get a little bit more nitty gritty. I think y'all might be craving a little bit of real X's and O's, some football. So I want to talk scheme, and I want to talk about, in particular, the cornerbacks. And just so you know where my head's at, the way I got into this conversation was, of all things, a Dan Orlovsky tweet, where he was like, hey, you know, the Vikings might be better than we think. They might be a playoff team, you know, and listed all these reasons about how they lost one score games and they aren't that far. They're 8-9, blah, blah, blah. And one of them is, you know, new and improved secondary. And people were like, wait, is the secondary improved? I mean, if you just like go down the list of last year's secondary, think of like five, maybe six pieces, right? You got two safeties. One of them's still Harrison Smith. You've got two corners in Patrick Peterson and Cameron Dantzler. And like maybe Dantzler loses his job in a camp battle, but Andrew Booth has to actively beat him. And go listen to my Andrew Booth recap episode. That's far from a guarantee. And then you've got like an upgrade at slot corner from Mackenzie Alexander to Chandon Sullivan. But I certainly don't agree with that. I think Sullivan's worse than Alexander. So did they get better? You know, and it's like, well, they've got Lewis Cine instead of Xavier Woods, or maybe Cam Bynum instead of Xavier Woods. That's also a battle. It's like, is that like an established veteran? I don't know. Like, and the answer to that question is like long-term future outlook. Absolutely. Right. Even if they have to keep churning through one-year deals with nickel corners, that's totally fine. And of course, Booth, you know, will he be good week one? I don't know. But in, you know, a year or two, you kind of would always expect a rookie to eventually figure it out. And you're usually doing your calculus with that. And same with Lewis Cine. So like future of the secondary, sure. But this year, I kind of think it's going to be kind of rough. And I made a tweet about that I was like, look, I get that everybody's excited, but, you know, relying on rookies in the secondary doesn't really work out very well. And somebody was kind of like, well, wait, well, then what was the point of the whole offseason? Well, yeah, there was an attempt to put a team together, but I mean, we're transitioning from one thing to another thing. There's kind of no way to make it not rough. But I ended up getting in a back and forth with somebody and kind of having to say, like, look, my outlook on this secondary is that they can figure it out, but relying on rookies in the meantime might work out kind of bad. And I realized, I was like, well, that takes a little more explaining, I think, if you don't know the difference between or if you don't know what corners are going to be asked in this defense and what Fangio asks of his corners typically. And it depends a lot on the corners, and we'll kind of talk about all of that. So here's the deal. Let's say Andrew Booth and Lewis Cine both win their jobs. I would love to see it. I don't think you should write it down in Sharpie or anything, but let's say that happens. Or it's probably going to be some kind of rotation, to be honest. But that would mean that we have inexperienced people in the secondary, and that changes what you're going to be comfortable asking them to do. But I want to get into way more specifics about it. So let me tell you the difference, what we were used to before and what we have now. What we had before was, with Mike Zimmer, was very mentally strenuous. It was a very complicated defense to learn. And it's not like the Fangio defense is like, you know, anyone whose head is full of rocks can learn it or anything, but mentally, it is designed to be a little bit easier to teach, to be easier to install, thereby like eliminating mistakes and miscommunications and stuff. You might not realize, like you might remember a lot of coverage busts over the years of Zimmer, especially with newer players. I remember one really vividly of 2018, Ben Gedeon busting a coverage against, gosh, I want to say San Francisco. I don't know. But, you know, Ben Gedeon busting a coverage, or even go back just the last couple of years, you know, Mackenzie Alexander busted a bunch. Cameron Dantzler busted a crap ton of coverages. And that's because it's a very, very complicated defense. I wrote a ton about it last year and talked about it a lot last year if you want to know more. There's a lot of if-thens, right? A lot of inside-outside, and if he does that, then I do this, and there's different coverages, and, you know, if I'm the apex in a Bronco coverage, I've got 2-1, I'm reading 2-1, and then if 2 is vert, then I pass it to the safety, and then I go play a feather, and it's like all these things that if you aren't already super, super steeped in the world, and you haven't been playing football for, you know, since you were 12 years old, it's gonna sound like German to you. That can be difficult. And there's a lot of little tiny adjustments that can be made. Oh, well, you know, my corner made an out call. That means I have to pass off the 3 and go take the 2 underneath, but only if he goes up to 5 yards, because then if he's out, it's still the corner and all. And there's all these little details and rules and stuff. And when it was humming, it was awesome. And you would get these super suffocating games where it doesn't really matter what the offense did. There was an answer to it. There was always a guy where you needed him not to be, and offenses couldn't figure it out. And you would have these awesome Mike Zimmer defensive performances. And then down the stretch, it got worse as players got younger and less experienced. And, you know, you didn't have Rhodes and Waynes in there anymore who knew the system inside and out. And you had guys kind of learning on the fly, and it was kind of a mess. A lot of that was they would just start making mistakes, you know, and it would be kind of as simple as I made a call that meant I abandoned this receiver with the trust that somebody else is going to pick him up. But if he doesn't pick him up, then suddenly somebody's streaking down completely uncovered and you're going, what on earth happened to the defense? That's what used to happen. It was very mentally strenuous, but the advantage of it was that everybody knew where to go and you didn't have to do a lot of just mano-a-mano beating the guy. You would be at some kind of advantage. You know, you'd be covering someone. You'd have to do coverage in the secondary, but you'd have help inside. And that meant that you could play a more conservative technique. And if he did flash his hips inside, you are all right with that. If he's going in, you know, you have a guy picking him up over there, so you can just commit only to the outside stuff, and then every out route you're covering beautifully because you played a technique that commits to it and all this stuff. You had all that. With this system, ideally in this system, there's a lot of cover one, a lot of man-to-man coverage, no help, maybe a safety over the top if he's going on a deep post or something. Maybe there's one deep safety for the whole play. But otherwise, you've got everything on the whole sideline, and you have to react to the receiver's hips. You have to react to their eyes. You have to react to their techniques and to your tape study and to down. And you have to really just, it's just you and that guy, and you just got to beat him. That's so much harder without any help. It's unreal harder. It's simpler. It's very easy to know what your job is. My job is I cover number 17, and that's my job. But it's so much harder to execute. So that's the difference. And it's a trade-off. And that's why there isn't one of these defenses ubiquitously throughout the league. Some teams run the old Zimmer style. Some teams run the Fangio style that we've now adopted. There are other schemes out there too, right? There's Brandon Staley's and Bill Belichick's. It's all a hodgepodge because... And a lot of it is, you know, the players you have. Do you trust your players to know where to go in a more complicated system, or do you trust them to be able to keep up in a simpler one that doesn't help them as much? That is the real difference. And how that manifests itself is what I want to talk about next here on the Locked On Vikings podcast. But first things first, let me talk to you about Grambling. Here's what Dan Orlovsky said. He said they're a playoff team. According to betonline.net, the odds of that are minus 105. The odds of no are minus 125. So that means that the betting market is very split on whether or not the Vikings are a playoff team, but they're leaning no. So if you disagree, if you're like, wow, that's insane, the Vikings are totally going to make the playoffs, Kirk Cousins rocks and everything's going to be awesome and we got this new coach, let's slam it, 10 wins in a playoff spot, go to betonline.net and put a little bit of money down on it before everybody else figures it out. That's betonline.net. You can gamble on whatever you want. You can bet on anybody else making the playoffs or win totals or where they're going to finish in their division. You can bet on basketball or hockey, playoffs going on, WNBA, golf, tennis, MMA, whatever you want. That is at betonline.net, where the game starts. Thanks again for listening to Locked On Vikings. Make it your first listen of the day. So earlier I said, ideally, the cover one is the thing. And I said ideally very specifically because... in at least the way Vic Fangio himself did it in Denver, and so I'm sort of applying this to Donatell too, with all these guys, it really depends on if they think their corners can hold up. These guys aren't idiots. If Cam Dantzler sucks in camp, they're not going to be like, all right, good luck. You're one-on-one coverage against whoever the offense wants to put on you. Like, they're not that dumb. So what do you do? And that's where quarter-quarter half comes in. Or there are cover three variants, but they're not as common. But really, the next most popular thing for these is quarter, quarter, half, or you might know it as cover six, where it's quarters on one side, which actually shares a lot from the Zimmer family. So there's still going to be some of that DNA and some of those coverages will be called. But crucially, it's still like this side of the field is that coverage and that side of the field is this coverage, where you're calling two different play calls on each side of the field and it splits, which is how the Zimmer defense would very often work. Like there would be some play calls where it was all the same, but for the most part, it was you're running this on one side and you're running this on the other side, and it could be the same on both sides and it could not be the same on both sides, and that's sort of the decision you're making in game. And the Donatel defense is going to run the same way when they're in quarter, quarter, half, but instead of it being quarters on either side and you're drawing from the quarters family of coverages, you also on one side will have a half, a very often side of coverages. And you'll have like one deep safety versus two deep safeties. So one side of the field will have two deep safeties. The other will have one deep safety, quarter, quarter, half, you get it. Or half quarter, quarter. And I believe the difference is whatever's on the strong side is listed first. So if you ever hear quarter, quarter, half or half quarter, quarter, they're functionally referring to the same thing. And it's just a matter of which one's on the strong side. I digress. The point is those coverages are easier to execute, assuming you know what you're doing, assuming that there are no miscommunications and that the complexities of it are like properly instructed and everybody knows where they're supposed to go and everybody's on the same page, it's a lot easier to do something like read 2-to-1 for a safety, which is a safety's job, which would be, you know, I read the two, and if he goes vertical, usually is what it is. If the two, the second innermost receiver goes deep, I take him, and if not, I take the one. And I play over the top of the one receiver, which is going to be the outermost receiver. And then that guy will be bracketed. And the coolness of those coverages, and I love these coverages. I think they're really, really rad once you figure them out. And once you kind of get that intuitive understanding of what they are, I nerd out about it a ton where you're like, oh, I get it. If they go outside, he's bracketed. If they go inside, the other guy's bracketed. Oh, I get it. Like, that's really fun. But the point is that hides the defense a little bit. But to do quarter, quarter, half, unless you're doing fire zone blitzes, which they will do a lot, and what fire zone means is Danielle Hunter in coverage, and now suddenly a tackle gets a rep off. So there's a cost to that, but it's also tricksy, right? Like that tackle is very ready to attack Danielle Hunter, and now he might end up blocking nobody while you're blitzing on the other side of the formation. Use those, and they like those, but outside of that, the only other way to free up a guy to blitz or to do a weird pressure package or something is to leave someone one-on-one. And so this decision tree starts to emerge where you're put yourself in Ed Donatel's shoes. You're going, okay, how often today am I going to leave Cam Dantzler one-on-one? And if I can answer that question, you know, if I have Andrew Booth, and let's say Andrew Booth is just tearing it up, he's a superstar, and you say, okay, I've got this awesome corner that's totally working out, and he's this rookie phenom, and then I've got Patrick Peterson on the other side, how often can I leave them one-on-one? Half the plays? 10 of the plays? 30 of the plays? All of the plays? How comfortable am I? And of course, it's going to be different depending on how good your corners are. If you're only comfortable leaving Cam Dantzler on an island for a few select plays and make sure that you can check out of that if it's, you know, the best receiver on the field on the other side, then you're not going to be able to unleash the really cool pressures and the really cool rats and robbers that you would have. You know, you're not going to be able to chase interceptions as much. You're not going to be able to do as much against centers. You're not going to be able to fool protections as much or try to overload things. There's so many other things you won't be able to do because that linebacker that is required to do it is busy helping the corner to the inside because Cam Dantzler isn't good enough, right? And so that kind of brings me to, okay, how does that manifest on these Vikings? But I hope that makes sense where in this, you know, you can play quarter, quarter, half or cover two or cover three if you have to. But if you really like were killing it, if your corners were awesome, you would be able to just leave them on the outside and use the other nine players to confuse the absolute hell out of the quarterback and pressure him a bunch and send him sometimes and don't send him sometimes and get really, really, really variable as long as those guys can hold up on the outside. So with rookies, I don't know if they're going to be able to hold up on the outside, but let's talk about kind of how that will hopefully manifest itself coming up next. First things first, let me talk to you about Built Bar. Built Bar has a new flavor. Their Built Puffs are popping off right now. They're absolutely delicious. They're like a marshmallowy kind, all Built Bar, covered in 100% chocolate, sometimes white chocolate. But the puffs are like a marshmallowy, pillowy, fluffy, light. They won't weigh you down like some protein bars would, but they're like good to have after workout. They're chock full of protein, not too much sugar, not too many carbs. Now they've got their brownie batter flavor. And let me tell you, this is an affront to God. And I mean that in the best way. That's the kind of thing you have at 2 a.m. and you feel really, really guilty about it, but you don't have to feel guilty about it. It's the cheat. Your cheat day without having a cheat day. So head on over to built.com, enter promo code LOCKED15, that's LOCKED15, and you can get 15% off of your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 at built.com. So the Vikings are kind of in, they're going to live in this world where there's this constant give and take, this balance between how much can I trust my corners one-on-one, and or how much do I need to protect my corners versus how much do I want to do the crazy stuff that actually makes me a good defense. If you wanted to protect the corners wholly, fully, and if you want evidence of this, go look at the 2020 Vikings. You play cover two all day, because cover two corners just have to basically play underneath responsibilities. They play flat zones and they pass everything deep off to the safety and they basically don't have to do anything. That's why Zimmer famously said way back when, "Ah, cover two corner, I can go down to 7-Eleven and find one of those." He's kind of right. If you can only play cover two, you're a crappy corner. But cover two sucks. So, and every quarterback knows, grows up knowing how to dice up cover two. The answers to cover two have been around since, I don't know, 1968. It's not a good coverage, but it's a coverage that you can run and it's viable, but there are a lot of answers to it. And it's pretty easy to do if that's all you ever have because your corners suck and crappy corners, you can hide them as much as you can, but like not without cost. Changing the scheme to hide a player is just mitigating cost, really. You say, all right, if I leave this guy one-on-one, he'll get burned. If I go to cover two, we'll probably get shredded, but at least, you know, it'll take him 10 plays to do it and maybe we can force a mistake in there. So here's how I see this going down. Patrick Peterson, I'm just going to go down the list of guys. Patrick Peterson is, I think, a better fit at this particular stage in his career in the old system. I think that he's got the mental side down, right? And he very quickly picked up that defense. I don't think he made too many. There were some busts, but sometimes it was like, I don't know whose fault it was. I don't know if there was a call that was made that wasn't picked up, or if someone was picking up a call they thought was made, and the guy didn't make the call, and that was the kind of coverage bust or that sort of thing. And he was otherwise, I mean, he got like two targets a game. Like, he was pretty clean. But if you go back to his last year in Arizona, where he was one-on-one all the time, he had a lot more problems. And so that quarters was really the perfect thing for him at this stage in his career, and moving away from it, I don't think is going to be as good of a scheme fit. Going down the line with Cam Dantzler, I feel the exact opposite, because Cam Dantzler's brain is rocks. I'm sorry, buddy, but it's obvious. You can't figure out any of the riddles. I'm joking. I'm partially joking, but he did bust a lot of coverages. So it is very funny that he can't figure out any of the riddles. He was miscommunicating all the time, and he was in 2020 as well. And that's why he lost his job to Bashaud Breeland in the in training camp. And, you know, Breeland, for all the problems that he had, when he was in man-to-man coverage, he didn't play it very wisely at all, and he had totally lost his confidence. But he at least, you know, was playing man-to-man when he's supposed to be playing man-to-man. Dantzler was confused, but when he was man-to-man, I thought he had better cover skills than Breeland did. And I thought that for that reason, they probably could have found a way to start him and just give him simpler assignments. And I wonder, I mean, that would really mess up your play calling, so I get it, but I feel like there was a solution there. But for this, if you just want to leave this dude in one-on-one, I think that's the best version of Cam Dantzler. I don't know if that's a good corner, but I think that's the best he gets. And so I love the fit for him. And I can't answer this about a Caleb Evans quite yet. And Chandon Sullivan's different. He's a slot corner, and I think that the job's a little different there. But even going with the safeties, Harrison Smith is going to be at his best when everyone's in cover one. and Harrison Smith can disguise what he's doing. But also, he's very, very good in quarters and all that. Like, Harrison Smith is a guy not to worry about. He's good in all the schemes. Yay. I think he's better in this one than he was in the Zimmer one. But that's more of a fit thing. And, like, he's awesome either way. Like, who cares? Lewis Cine, obviously, they drafted him to be in this one. And I think that that works because this Donatel scheme will require safeties really often to start high and then trigger downhill. And that's like what he's best at. And it's the same thing with corners, and Andrew Booth's really good at that. Like, you could kind of tell that they were looking for that. And I think that that totally tracks with like a Fangio scheme where they're hiding a lot of things with alignments. It's another big like Fangio, and I'm going to assume by proxy Donatel thing, that like a safeties will align off and look really deep. And essentially what you're doing is you're begging the other team to say, hey, check into your swing pass, you know, throw your little smoke route. Like, hey, let me give you the pre-snap indicator that you're looking for to choose the short version of this play. And then you get guys that are really good at triggering downhill and crushing it. And that's what you just want them to do every play. You just want the quarterback to come back to the sideline and say, hey, he was playing off coverage and I was told off coverage means the smoke route. And then it was only a 1 yard gain. You want that, right? You want that to be the conversation they're having on the sideline. So Lewis Cine, perfect fit for that. And I think Booth's a perfect fit for that as well. I think with the problems with Andrew Booth, the problems that I had kind of talked about when I broke him down will manifest themselves worse the less help he has. And so for him, it's going to be a developmental arc where he's going to be probably not as good in the cover one stuff until he cleans up this or that about his technique and until he decides to get a little, you know, figures out how to get a little less grabby, all that stuff. If you want details on that, go listen to that episode over the weekend. But like that will hopefully at least grow over time. And he will be the deciding factor, I think. He and a Caleb Evans and Lewis Cine will be the deciding factor. Things how these rookies develop will decide kind of what the ratios are of cover one versus quarter half versus cover three stuff versus cover two stuff will sort of be determined by what these rookies are capable of. So what I kind of see happening here is in this first year, the Vikings will be doing a lot of hiding their secondary. And it's going to mean not only is that second, I mean, that secondary probably won't look as bad as I'm dooming about here. But in exchange for that, unless the Vikings just decide that they can totally put all their trust in like Cam Dantzler and then he gets cooked and stuff, and that would be a coaching error. And then in exchange, you're not going to have a 15 sack season out of Za'Darius Smith. And you're not going to have crazy production out of all of these other, you know, the Harrison Phillipses and the Danielle Hunters and stuff, except for whatever they can do when they just beat a tackle or whatever. You're not going to have as much of that. But ideally, and this is just a transition year, it's just going to be one rough year. That's it. Because eventually, as those corners grow and become a little better and you can trust them more, then everything unlocks. I talk a lot about how football is symbiotic. This is one of those ways where football is symbiotic. The better the corners are, the more opportunities the superstars on the inside are going to have. And that's where stuff can get really, really exciting once those guys are good. It is all on the corners. And I've been saying this about a Fangio-style defense since I learned the Vikings were going to adopt one. It is all about the corners. The second most important thing is the edge rushers. That's more of a run defense thing, a topic for another day. But for now, it is all about the corners. How good they are is how good the defense is. And I don't think that you're going to step onto the field day one as a cornerback and be a stud. That does not often happen. Patrick Sertans are very much like not the norm. A lot of good corners just take a while to get used to the new speed of the game and new scheme and terminologies and just like higher competition, all that stuff. It takes a bit. And so I urge a little bit of patience. I know patience is not our thing as Vikings fans, and I know there are a lot of Vikings fans that have been patient for like 60 years. I get it. A little bit of patience with these new kids and with this defense. It's going to start rough. It's going to get better. Next time we talk will be Monday. I'm going to be traveling. That's a pre-recorded episode. Had a little conversation about Bud Grant. Hope you guys like it. And then we'll be back to regular stuff on Tuesday for Twitter Tuesday. So get your questions in. I will see you all then. And as always, skull.